Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, that'll get your blood going, won't it? I love that song. I love the words of that song. Just like Matthew said, I'm so thankful for our God, and I'm thankful to be here this morning and get to speak to you and talk about the Holy Spirit again this morning. We'll be finishing that series up next Sunday, and I've appreciated your response to the series and conversations that I've gotten to have with you, and so just thank you for your blessings back to me. Francis Chan tells a story about a man who had called the elders of the church and asked if they would come and pray for him and anoint him with oil. And I'll just make an aside there and say that's a very biblical thing to do. And I'm thankful that our elders do that for folks when they ask. And if that's a need in your life, something that a healing that you need, a blessing that you need. James teaches us, and other passages teach us, to call the elders and have them come and pray. And anointing with oil is a very biblical thing to do. But this man had asked the elders. He had been diagnosed with cancer, and he asked his elders to come and pray and to anoint with oil. And so as they gathered, Francis Chan says that he asked the man a question before they prayed, and he said, "It's a question I had never asked anyone before in a situation like that." And he said, "I don't really know why that day it came to me, but before we prayed with the man, I just looked at him and I said, 'Why do you want to be healed?'" It's really a pretty good question to ask. It's a question that goes to motivation. Why? James tells us that very often our prayers aren't answered because of our motivation, because of wrong motivation, wrong reasons. And so I want to ask you the question this morning. I want to ask you a why question. A couple of weeks ago, we talked in our series, we talked about receiving the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is a gift that our Father gives to us and a gift that is to be received. And what I want to ask you this morning is, why do you want the Holy Spirit? I'm assuming that you do want the Holy Spirit. My question is why? Why do you want the Holy Spirit in your life? What's your motivation for receiving and being filled with the Holy Spirit? Motivation was an issue for a man named Simon. And we read about Simon in Acts chapter 8. We know him, I learned about him in Bible class, Sunday school, as Simon the Sorcerer. This story takes place in Acts chapter 8. It's after Stephen was martyred, and a serious, major persecution of the church took place in Jerusalem. And what that did, in God's providence, is it scattered the disciples who had been gathering in Jerusalem and staying in Jerusalem. And it scattered those disciples. And in doing that, it fulfilled what Jesus said was going to happen in Acts 1, chapter 8, that it was going to start in Jerusalem, but it was going to go to Judea and to Samaria and eventually to the ends of the world. And this is where it started going, to Judea and Samaria. And if you read through there, it says the believers were scattered and the believers went everywhere preaching. So what that says is, church, it's not just the paid folks who are supposed to be out there preaching. It's the whole church who needs to be out there preaching. The believers went out there preaching, but Luke focuses in on one man in this story, and that is a man named Philip. He is one of the seven who were recognized in the church as being filled with the Holy Spirit, as many people were in the church. He was one of the seven who were chosen in Acts chapter 6. And Philip goes through Samaria, and it says he is in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as he goes, he preaches the good news about Jesus to villages all through Samaria. He performs miracles, which caused people to pay attention to his message. That's what the signs and the wonders were for, is to cause people to pay attention. It says he cast out demons. He cast out evil spirits from people. Basically, he was doing exactly what Jesus told his disciples to do all the way back in Luke chapter 10. When Jesus sent them out, he said, go and preach the kingdom of God, heal the sick, cast out the evil spirits. And so what we see in Acts chapter 8 is that the disciples, through the Holy Spirit, are doing the very things that Jesus began to do and to teach. Because that's one of the major roles of the Holy Spirit that we see in Acts, is that what he is doing in the church is continuing what Jesus began. And so Philip is doing exactly what Jesus taught his disciples to do. He's ministering with power by the Holy Spirit. It says many people in Samaria believe. And one of the people who believed is a man named Simon. Simon was famous in Samaria because Simon was a magician or a sorcerer. And I looked up that word to try to understand a little bit more about what that means. And what that means is Simon was a magician and a sorcerer. That's as far as I can get. Somehow, Simon had some ability to do things that caused people to marvel and to wonder. Now, I don't know if Simon was tricking them and making that up. I don't know if Simon had some power through an evil spirit. I don't know, but Simon was famous because Simon could do some things other people could not do. And so Simon hears Philip preaching. Simon believes the message. The Bible is very clear about that. Simon believes this message. But he comes into contact with a power that is far greater than the power that he has. And so he believes. He begins to follow Philip, he is baptized, and there's no indication that he is insincere in any of this, but there is an indication that he has wrong motives as time goes on. Because at some point, the apostles come over, Peter comes over, and Simon asks Peter, how much would it cost for me to get this power? I want this power through the Holy Spirit. How much would it cost for me to get this? And Peter rebukes him strongly and says, you need to repent and you need to pray to God right now that he will forgive you for that. And it says that Simon does. He says, yes, please pray for me. Please pray for me. So the Holy Spirit is something that Simon wanted. Simon just needed someone to ask him why. He had some wrong motivations. The Holy Spirit is a remarkable gift from God. He is the all-powerful, personal presence of God living in us. It is better for us that he is with us than it even was for the apostles that Jesus was with them. And so there's no wonder that we should want the Holy Spirit in our lives. So I'm not asking if you want the Holy Spirit this morning. I'm asking, why do you want the Holy Spirit? And there could be a number of reasons, and I'm not going to go through them all. I'm going to cut to the chase. Are your reasons selfish? Are the reasons that you want the Holy Spirit in your life about you? Because if you're like me, you're thinking about you a lot of the time. I think about myself most all the time. It's the most natural thing in the world for us to do, is to think about us. And that was Simon's problem. He was thinking about himself. His motivation for the Holy Spirit was selfish, for what he could get out of it, for what he could do for him. And I'm pretty confident, honestly, that a lot of us have that motivation. Now, we're not trying to buy the Holy Spirit. We're not trying to become sorcerers. But we probably do think about the Holy Spirit in our life for what He can do for us. And if we're not careful, we will minimize the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives if we limit Him to what He can do for us. I don't think we'll experience, honestly, the power of the Spirit in our life if our motivation is how He can help me, how He can comfort me, how He can counsel me, how He can produce fruit in me, how He can like make my life better or make my life easier or make my life more comfortable. The Holy Spirit is a gift. He is a gift who is given to you. He does help you. He does counsel you. He does comfort you. Those are all words that are translated from the name that Jesus gave Him in Greek. That Greek word is translated in all of those ways. The Holy Spirit does do those things for us. But if that's as far as it goes in my thinking, if that's as far as it goes in my heart, if that's as far as it goes in my life, then what I want to say to you this morning is you're really going to end up missing out on the Holy Spirit. And you're going to end up missing out on the power that He was sent to activate in our lives. Because God's very nature is that He is a giver. That was basically Jeff's point this morning. God is a giver. He gave the most precious thing in His life. But God is a giver in every way. In fact, the Bible says that every good gift that comes is from God. That is His nature, is He is a giver. He continually pours Himself out. He continually gives good gifts. He has this rich storehouse of spiritual blessings and treasures in heaven that are inexhaustible. And He just keeps giving and He keeps giving and He keeps giving. And here's the thing. God wants us to be like Him. As we become more like Jesus, one of the things that should happen in our life as we go along is that we become more generous. And I don't just mean with our money. I just mean we become generous people. We become giving people. We become givers like our Heavenly Father is a giver. And He has given us the Holy Spirit. And it is a benefit to us. But more important than that, this giving God gives us the Holy Spirit so that we can give to other people. The Holy Spirit is a gift given to you for the benefit of others. And that's why I ask that motivation question. Why do you want the Holy Spirit? Is it ultimately for you or is it for others? I see three major reasons that God gives us the Spirit. Three major purposes that the Spirit has in us. And not a one of them are about me. First of all, the Holy Spirit is given, from what I see in Scripture, to glorify God and to exalt or lift up Jesus. That's the first and foremost reason that the Holy Spirit is here. That night in the upper room, as Jesus is teaching these last things He's telling these folks before He is betrayed and tried and crucified, right after that Last Supper, when He's already demonstrated, by the way, that it's not about us, it's about others, when He washed their feet. But as Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit to them that night, He very consistently made this point that the Holy Spirit is given to glorify God and to exalt Jesus. I'm just going to read three passages from John 14 and 15 and 16 and hear what the Spirit is going to do. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and He will remind you Jesus said, of everything that I have said to you. So one of the things the Spirit is going to do is always remind us of what Jesus said. Then in John 15, when the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who grows out from the Father, what will he do? He will testify about me, Jesus said. So he's going to remind us of what Jesus said. He's going to testify about Jesus. And then John 16, he will bring glory to me, Jesus said. The Holy Spirit will bring glory to Jesus by taking what is his and making it known to us. So it's very clear. Jesus makes it very clear in this teaching that when the Holy Spirit comes, he is going to keep pointing back to Jesus. He's going to keep glorifying Jesus. He's going to keep lifting up Jesus. He's going to keep reminding people about Jesus. He's going to remind people of what Jesus said. He's going to glorify Jesus. I think this is one of the reasons we kind of have a hard time really getting a grasp of the Spirit is because he never points back at himself. He always points to Jesus. This may or may not be a good analogy, but he's kind of like the silent partner in this deal. He does a lot of work. He puts in a lot of resources, and he doesn't want any credit. He always wants Jesus to get the credit. He doesn't want any attention. He always wants Jesus to get the attention. I think that's one of the reasons we have a hard time just really getting a grasp of him, is because he always makes Jesus front and center. He doesn't make himself front and center. He never makes you and me front and center. He always makes Jesus front and center. And a sure sign that you know the Holy Spirit is working is that Jesus is being magnified and glorified. That's a sure sign that the Holy Spirit is work is when Jesus is being lifted up and Jesus' name is being praised and Jesus is being honored. Not anyone else. Not anyone else. Not any preacher, not any prophet, not any person, only Jesus. And so I pray that the Holy Spirit will fill us, will fill our church, will be poured out on us, and that he will work in marvelous and miraculous ways, and that we will never get the glory for that. That this church will never get the glory for that. That no person will ever get the glory for that except for Jesus. And that in our city, because of what the Holy Spirit does through us, knees would bow to Jesus. That's what I pray. Because first and foremost, he glorifies God, and he lifts up Jesus. Second thing I see in Scripture, that God gives us his Holy Spirit, and it's for the common good of the church. For the common good of the church. See, you did not receive the Spirit for your good. You received the Spirit for the good of the people around you. For the common good of the church. That's what Paul told the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 12. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but it's the same Lord. And there are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in every one, it's the same God at work. Step back just a minute. There's the Trinity in those verses. Spirit, Lord, Jesus, and God, the Father. Behind all these gifts. It's verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for, say it with me, the common good. To one there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Now, I have not spent much time, in fact, I've spent no time in this series talking about these gifts and these manifestations of the Spirit. I believe in them. I believe He still gifts His church. I believe He still works in the ways that He has always worked. I talked about that in the very beginning of the series. I believe the Holy Spirit works. But I have not talked about these gifts because I do not think that the Bible teaches us to seek these gifts. I don't think the Bible teaches us to seek these manifestations. I think the Bible teaches us to seek and receive the Spirit. He is the purpose. I mean, He is the person. He is the one who we want in our lives. We seek the Spirit. He then determines in His and the Father's will how He's going to work. That's not up to us at all. That's not in our power at all. It's all about Him and Him deciding how He's going to work. So I don't teach that we should seek these gifts or seek these manifestations. What I want to teach is let's seek the Holy Spirit of God in our life and let Him do what He's going to do according to His perfect plan and will. And always in that perfect plan and will, it is not going to be about you. It's going to be about others around you for the common good of the church. I think I skipped ahead, but just to make sure you can fill in the blank, verse 11 makes it clear. He and He alone determines how to distribute His gifts and manifest Himself in our lives. And whatever gift He gives, it's always for the good of others, especially for the good of the others in the church. Our brothers and our sisters who are gathered around us. And when that happens, brothers and sisters are built up and Jesus is lifted up. It glorifies God. So again, I pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to fill our church. I pray that more and more He will pour Himself out on us. I pray that in His perfect will, He will distribute and He will apportion any gifts that He sees fit to give to us. And I pray that we will seek Him and that He will then do what He wants to in us. And I do pray that He will manifest Himself in our lives. I pray that God in this church will continue. I think He has. I hope He'll continue more and more to give people in our church the gift of wisdom. Do we need wisdom, brothers and sisters, to navigate this world as a church? Yes, we need wisdom that comes from God. We don't need the wisdom of the world because God does everything in a whole different way. Jeff pointed that out. That last song we sang pointed that out. God does things that are beyond us. We need His wisdom. I pray that the Holy Spirit will pour down wisdom on some of us and that that wisdom will be used to help us individually as we are making decisions and as a church as we are making decisions. We need the Holy Spirit to do that in our church. And I pray that He will do it. I pray that He will give some of us knowledge. Knowledge of the Scriptures. Knowledge of the things of God. Understanding so that we can read the Word and we can know what it is saying to us. I pray the Holy Spirit will distribute more and more faith on us. And that those who have this gift of faith, who even through the darkest times, even through the hardest trials, just keep going in faith, that they will be able to pour that out in us and encourage our faith when it is weak. I don't have a problem asking God, if it's in His will to give some of us the power to heal the sick, to go and pray and anoint with oil and that God would heal There's folks who are sick and who are hurting and who are being tested, who that would be a blessing to them. I would pray, if it's what God wants to do, that there would be folks who could perform miraculous wonders and signs, and that there would be folks who could prophesy, proclaim the message of God with boldness. Here's why I say I want to pray for those things, because those gifts, we saw it in Acts chapter 8, we see it all through Scripture. Those gifts were a significant part of the spread of the gospel as it went into a new place, into a new town, into a new culture. We saw it in the earliest days of the church. We still see it. I was listening to a book this week about some of the incredible things that God is doing in the Muslim world to draw attention to Jesus and to bring folks to faith in Jesus Christ. Those signs and wonders that we see in Acts seem to go with the movement of the gospel then and now around the world. And I would say this, if there has ever been a time that the gospel needs to move in our culture more than today, I don't know when it has been. We need the gospel to go forward and have an impact on our city and on our state and on our nation and on the world. And if the Holy Spirit determines to get some attention, to point to Jesus, then I'd say I'm not against it at all. In fact, I'm for it. Now, the next one on this list is the gift of tongues. Uh-oh, Ken, where are you going? Here's what I want to say about the gift of tongues. I want to tell you a story about how I think God is actually doing that. And it's not as weird as you might think it is. The Holy Spirit is not weird, folks. Those were nervous giggles. The Holy Spirit is not weird. He is not strange. He is God. Here's what I want to say. This story I want to tell you. In the context of speaking in tongues. In Acts chapter 2, when they spoke in tongues, what were they doing? They were speaking in languages that people there could hear the gospel, right? And I get that at that moment, it was a miraculous thing. They had never learned those languages. In that moment, it was given to them. Story I'm going to tell you is a little different, but with all of my heart, I believe it's the Holy Spirit at work. You know that several years ago, we were blessed to get connected to Aniel and to Elvie and their son, and to be a part of sending them to the Midrim. And in that place, they are working very hard and making connections with people who follow Allah, who don't know Jesus, to bring them to be followers of Jesus. That's what they're doing. What you don't know is, it looks like they're going to get to come here in August. Very excited about that. I think I'm the only one among us who's gotten to meet Aniel. And I'm telling you, he is a wonderful man of God. And I've told you before, every time we text, he says, I always say, here's a big Texas hug. And he always says, send a big hug back to the brothers and sisters in Wichita Falls. He's very excited about coming meeting y'all with his family. But he doesn't speak any English. He and his family speak no English. All they speak is Spanish. And as a mission committee, we have been praying about and trying to figure out, what is that going to look like? How do we spend 5 days with someone we can't communicate with? It's another language. Okay, here's how I say the Lord is at work. The Holy Spirit is at work gifting us as a church for the common good. Mission committee's been praying about this. We have a new member who has been sent to us very recently. And I found out, someone told me that she speaks Spanish. As far as I know, we only have one other person here who is fluent in Spanish. And so I was really excited about this. I went to talk to her. This is Sandra Bates Justice back here. I asked her permission to do this. I promise you, I don't talk about y'all unless I get your permission to. There's so many things I want to tell because I find out about all kinds of things God's doing, but I don't always have permission to tell them. Okay, so I go and talk to her. Yes, I find out she speaks fluent Spanish. In fact, she's about to be the Spanish teacher at Wichita Christian School. But here's what else I find out. She has a heart for Muslims to come to Jesus Christ. In fact, she lived in a dominant Muslim country for 4 years and counted many Muslim women among her friends and prays that they will follow Jesus. So at a time where God has connected us with a Spanish-speaking family who is in the Med Rim trying to reach Muslims for Jesus and who are coming here, and we're trying to figure out how in the world are we going to have this language that we can talk to them, God puts somebody in our midst who has a heart for Muslims come to Christ and who speaks fluent Spanish. Now, I think that is an answer. I think that is a work of the Holy Spirit gifting and distributing his gifts among the church just exactly out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Thank you for saying amen. See, I don't think this stuff has to be weird. I don't think we have to be afraid of this. I don't think we need to have a picture in our mind of something over here that we're not sure about. And because we're afraid of that, to just say, well, I don't know that I want any of this. It's okay for us to open up our lives to the Spirit and let him do what he is going to decide to do. If we will let him, if we'll welcome him and encourage it. These are just a few of the gifts here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There's others listed. Some of you, Spirit of God has given you the gift of hospitality. And there's people in this room right now that I'm looking at. Again, I don't have permission to tell it. I know how hospitable they are. I know that they use that gift to constantly have people in their home. And I hear from the people who go to their home about what a blessing it is in their lives. I pray that God would pour out in his gifts more of us who were hospitable and who would use that gift for the common good of the church. I can talk about this one because it's so public. He's gifted one of our members with the gift of cinnamon rolls. And aren't you thankful he uses it for the common good of the church? That's hospitality is what that is. That's a gift. Some of you, God has gifted you with the gift of teaching. And again, I'm looking at some of you who God's gifted as teachers, men and women. Thank you for using that gift for the good of this church. We need more teachers who have that gift of knowledge and that gift of wisdom. In fact, Shane, super excited, as a discipleship minister, he's become responsible for our teaching times. And before, the first thing that happened to him as a discipleship minister is one of our members who is gifted as a teacher came and said, here's the class that I want to teach. Could I do that? God bless you for doing that. That is using the gift God gave you for the common good of this church. We need more of it. I pray that he'd pour out his Spirit on more of us. Give us more teachers. Some of you have the gift of encouragement. My sister, I'm getting all off my notes, folks. I'm sorry. Larry taught me not to do this. This is how you get in trouble and it goes long. But some of you have been given the gift of encouragement. My sister shared with me recently at their church, one of their ministers who was so discouraged that he quit. And God bless my sister, she called me and she said, Ken, I want to know, as a preacher, as a minister, what can I do to encourage the ministers in my church? What does that look like? What kind of encouragement do you need? God bless those of you, not just for preachers, who for the common good encourage each other. Keep doing that. That is the Spirit at work in you and in our church. And there are people who are sitting around you this morning who desperately need to be encouraged. You can do it through the Spirit. Some of you have been given the gift of generosity. Oh my goodness, I could talk about this one for a long time. You are so generous. Blows me away. I brag on you because of how generous you are. And it's not just what you put in the boxes on Sunday morning. It's all kinds of ways that you are generous and that ministry gets done and good things happen because of your generosity. Some of you have been given the gift of leadership. And I'm not just talking about our official leaders. I'm talking about those of you in this church who are leaders, who have a group of people around you who are paying attention to you, and you are leading them toward Jesus. God bless you for using that gift. I pray that He would pour that out on more of us. Some of you have been given the gift of serving. Oh my goodness. These are the people who really don't want any attention, whose names I would love to call, who are just servants, who behind the scenes just do the things that need to be done that nobody else pays attention to. Some of you have been given the gift of kindness. And the lists just go on and on of the ways that the Holy Spirit will pour Himself out on you. And He'll do it not for you. He'll do it for the common good of the church. The people who are around you, God wants you to use your gifts for them. And when you do, the church is helped, the church is blessed, and back to that first reason, God is glorified and Jesus is lifted up. So I want you to look around you this morning. Seriously, look around at the people who are next to you. Do you love those folks? I hope you do. I do. I love you. I thank God for you. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. The more He's in our life, the more love we will have for each other. And the more love we have for each other, the more we'll just give and give and give out of the blessings that He has chosen to distribute for the good of each other, to build each other up. And when we do it, Jesus is glorified. And He's lifted up. So at the bottom of your outline, I've written a prayer. I'd ask you to pray that prayer with me this morning. I'd ask you to make it your prayer. Don't be afraid of asking God this prayer. The prayer is this: God, thank You for the gift of Your Holy Spirit living in me. I pray You would empower me in some way so that I can bless Your church. And I added, and these people, because I mean the church, but I mean us. This is the church God's put us in, that He wants us to help and to bless. So if you're willing, would you just bow your head? Let me pray this prayer. I would ask that you agree with it and make it your prayer. God, I thank You for the gift of Your Holy Spirit living in us. And I pray that You would empower me. And I pray that You would empower each person here this morning in some specific way so that they can bless Your church and use the gift You've given for the common good of the people in this room. I pray that prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. There's one more reason, but don't worry. We're not going to talk about it this morning. There's one more reason that I see in Scripture why God gives us the Holy Spirit. And again, all this is in the context of asking why. What is our motivation? I think it is possibly the most important reason, at least the most direct reason, that God has sent, that Jesus has sent His Spirit. I also think that it is our lack of participation in this that is the biggest reason that most of us would say, well, I just don't experience the Holy Spirit. I think there's a direct correlation between doing what He was sent for us to do and us experiencing His power in our life. But you're going to have to come back next week to hear that. It'll be the last sermon in this series. So God bless you.